best way to get you going. This is Breakfast Beat with Ghulam Fakir and Sagra Sheikh Esop. Only on The Voice of the Cape.
This is Breakfast on 91.3 FM, your voice in the morning. Assalamu alaikum and welcome if you have just joined us. Now, it has been communicated by the Department of Health that in the event of someone dying, a sudden death, or those who pass on at home, that the new requirements are that specimens should be taken for COVID-19 before a death certificate is issued. But how will this be done and what are the repercussions thereof? Let's talk to our experts on the issue, the head of the Western Cape's Health Department, Dr. Keith Clute. Dr. Keith, thank you so much for your time this morning on Breakfast 91.3 FM. Talk to us quickly just through this new guidelines. You know, what sort of, initiated this guideline? What was the purpose of it?
Good morning, Ghulam, and good morning to the listeners. Ghulam, that is a national guideline, and in the Western Cape, we have more or less been doing that from the start anyway. So we have been very, from the outset with COVID, been very mindful that all unexplained deaths could potentially have COVID associated with it. So we have been asking people all along, anybody that has unexplained death at home, that a COVID sample is preferable to be taken. So what it means is, in most cases, somebody with COVID would present with symptoms, they would go to a health facility. If they die in a health facility, before we've confirmed that they had COVID, we would be taking a sample after the person passed away, or just before they pass away, obviously. So if somebody comes into a hospital, they die, and it's unexplained, we would be taking the sample like we would take to any living person. But in this case, if somebody is elderly or they have an illness or whatever, and they die at home, or potentially would be natural causes, they still would need a death certificate. So you don't just go from a death to, burying the body or having cremation or something. You still have to come into contact with a medical service,
right,
for a confirmation of the death. And it's at that point that we are now making sure that every medical officer that's asked, either a GP or somebody from an ambulance or somebody, that they then take the sample. And the idea is that there is a MRC report where they've checked data from Home Affairs to make sure that we don't miss COVID deaths. And that report, which is a weekly report, have shown up that there are actually quite a few deaths that has not been picked up in the death notification for COVID, because the unnatural deaths is higher than expected. So there is a high probability that quite a few people are dying of natural causes, and the cause of COVID is not being detected in these deaths.
Mm. Now, if we were to look at, you know, the health department, you know, would you be able to cope with this new guideline? I mean, I know you say that you've rolled it out. It's a national guideline. It's always been implemented, you know, in the Western Cape as well. But we also know that there have always been some backlogs and delays in gathering certain information, especially now that the health department is also dealing with this particular pandemic. And it is something that we all know, you know, that the health, fraternity is taking a lot of strain at the moment.
Well, I mean, Ghulam, we actually, ironically now, would cope with it better because the cases have actually lessened over the last 4 to 6 weeks. And we have also, from the data from the MRC, have picked up that some cases have slipped through the net, which actually deaths that you pick up afterwards from Home Affairs that's not on our radar. So we will definitely cope with it, because the issue here is it is not as if you're adding a new step in the confirmation. Everybody requires a death certificate, which requires a medical practitioner, which has always been the case.
Yes.
The only thing we're asking is that the medical practitioners that should do the death certificate should take a test sample. And the issue was actually about 5-6 weeks ago, the availability of tests rather than the availability of person power to be able to do it. Mm. Now tests has been made available for that as well.
Okay. Now, also, if we look at the turnaround time, Dr. Keith, you know, I mean, like, for example, in the Islamic faith, you know, it's recommended, you know, for you to be buried within 24 hours.
Yep.
You know, what is the turnaround time, you know, to be able to ascertain, first of all, the samples and all that for the death certificate to be issued, and then for the Muslim burial to take place? I'm just using this as an example. You know, what would the turnaround time be?
Well, in most cases now, our turnaround times, and it's been like that for the last 2 or 3 weeks, that if you take a sample, the turnaround time is roughly 24 hours, 25 hours, if it gets to the laboratory. So we don't perceive that taking a sample should necessarily influence the bearing of the body, because it's actually just the fact that you've had a sample. Whether you have the result before you die or after you die, actually for us, the point is to have a sample. That's the issue that we're dealing with in this specific situation.
Right. Tark, we also had a situation over the weekend where somebody also reported that their father had passed on at a Western mm-hmm. Cape hospital. They've treated him like a COVID positive patient after he had passed on, but there was no documentation reflecting that information. How important is it for the family to get closure in terms of getting the proper documentation, and how important is it for the hospital to remain transparent in that regard for them to also issue the proper documentation? What is the documentation that is required in a case like that, Doc?
So the issue is, Gulam, that there's a very big group of people that come to hospital that we regard as potentially COVID until the lab result comes back. So we call that PUI, person under investigation. Right. So in many cases, somebody that's a person under investigation is managed as if they have COVID, awaiting the result of the test that's been sent. Now, it could be that this person, I don't know the detail, could have passed away before the test result has come back. Mm. It is still incumbent on the hospital, once the test result is back, to contact the family to say the confirmation is it was negative or positive. So that is still the closed cycle.
And if they didn't do that, then the family can call the hospital as well, right?
Absolutely.
Great. Dr. Keith, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. As always, lovely chatting to you. Dr. Keith Clutter, he's the head of the Western Cape Health Department, always availing himself to speak to us here at the Voice of the Cape, just to keep us informed and updated with regards to that. We also get comment now from Dr. Selim Parker, who spoke on behalf of the MJC, right? Yeah, with regards to this the same story, actually. We managed to get hold of a clip that he spoke to AM Express.
The reason for wanting to have this done is that we've had between 17 and 20,000 excess deaths compared to previous years. So we can't explain it as yet. We just know that compared to previous years, about 20,000 plus more people have died than we expected them. Yes, 10,000 has been due to COVID, but there's still more that we are unaccounted for. So that's why the minister wants to know, is it due to COVID? Is it due to reasons other than that? And we know that certain people, for example, with TB, didn't want to go to hospital or didn't want to seek treatment and probably died from that. We know a lot of people, and I'm personally aware of two people who had chest pain who refused to go to hospital because they were scared of being admitted and never seeing their family again, and then passed away at home. So there was good intention behind this proposed legislation. Let me put it categorically, at this moment, it's not in law yet. So if someone passes away today or maybe tomorrow still at home and the doctor suspects it's a heart attack, then COVID test does not have to be done. Now, the Western Cape Health Department is still busy drawing up standard operating procedures as to what has to be done. What is known is that the mayor does not need to be taken to a place like Tygerberg Hospital, as was suggested on social media. That's completely incorrect. If a doctor, what we don't know yet is who has to do it, where does the swabs get taken from, and where does it get sent to? That must all be legislated. It's mm-hmm. only after that will we be able to give advice, and I think that's a whole program on its own. We don't even know if a Tuka Mani is permitted by law to do that. The Islamic Medical Association is very willing and very capable of teaching Kamanis, for example, burial society members of how to do it. But is it legally permitted? We don't know. If it's permitted, we will do that. I mean, it will be part of the procedures that the Tukamanis then can do. But as I've mentioned, we're still waiting for that legislation. Secondly, who does it? Whose responsibility is it? Can we ask an ambulance person to do it? Where do they obtain these swabs from? Where does it get sent to? No, it's one thing to do it. It's another thing to send that to drop it at the day hospital, for example, and they don't know what to do with it any further. So we have to wait for the legislation to be put in. And once we have that type of information, we're quite willing from the Islamic Medical Association point of view to have a full program on Voice of the Cape about what steps can be taken so that people don't unnecessarily worry or get confused by these type of social messages that are going out. But currently, you do not need to do it until legislation comes out, and that will explain or empower who can do the test, where does it have to go to, but it will be. And the MJC, as well as the Western Cape Health Department, are doing their utmost to make sure that the procedure will be minimal in time, and it'll be quite efficient in doing it as well.
Dr. Salim Parker, of course, the medical advisor for the Muslim Judicial Council, talking about the new guidelines that the health department has revealed with regards to COVID-19.